The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
It's that time once again for a report from Israel. Joining us on the line now, spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation, Rolene Marks. Rolene, good afternoon to you. And thanks always for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive.
Afternoon. It is always a pleasure to be in your company.
Indeed. Well, great to have you on board, Rolene. Everybody looks forward to having you on board the show. So let's, I predicted this from yesterday. Let's continue our conversation given the aftermath of the Iranian attack on Israel on a Saturday night. Where does the situation stand right now? If I stand corrected, if I'm not mistaken, reading articles earlier on, there seems to be an economic approach to the situation now. Sanctions, that kind of thing happening?
Well, first of all, let's discuss that the operation now has a name. It is called Operation Iron Shield.
Okay.
That is the military name that has been assigned to Israel's incredible defense, launched with its air defense array, along with our coalition partners, France, the United Kingdom, the United States, Jordan, and as we heard yesterday, Saudi Arabia. So we have more than reasonable proof that Israel is able to form a coalition. Now, President Biden has recommended that Israel takes the win. And a lot of world leaders are trying to quell Israel's want for retaliation, saying that, you know, we can't put the region and certainly the world on the brink of a war. But as I've said so often on this show, that when we look at events in the Middle East, we have to look at them through Middle Eastern eyes. And make no mistake, Iran did not send a message or test us. Iran sent a massive attack towards Israeli sovereign territory with the aim of creating maximum carnage. The IDF took journalists today to see some of the spent rocket casing, some of the ballistic missile casing. They are 36 feet long and had a payload of half a ton of explosives each. Now, you can imagine the devastation that weapons, and that's not counting the drones that were also sent, 170 drones, although very slow moving, but were sent from Iranian sovereign territory. And let me tell you another thing. When Israelis heard that drones were on their way, and yes, they do take time to approach, giving Israel time to get our air defense into place, it's that psychological torture of knowing that they could be attacking any minute. So this was a massive, unprecedented, that is a word that's being used a lot here, attack on Israeli sovereignty, and Israel is going to respond. The chief of the IDF, Herzi Halevi, and we've also heard from War Cabinet member Benny Gantz, have said that Israel will respond at a time and in a way that suits us. Now, what will that response be? President Biden has said that America will not join in a response, but will basically not stop Israel. John Kirby, the White House spokesperson, has said that Iran's failure was spectacular and embarrassing. But you can imagine, first of all, Iran have not used all the weapons in their arsenal and have probably tested Israel's air defense and to see who would come to our aid. So how will we respond? That is still to be decided by the War Cabinet. Will it be kinetic? In other words, will there be a military strike? Will it be a cyber strike? Will we strike proxies? One thing is for sure, that Israel will want to send a very, very strong message to Iran. And as former Prime Minister Naftali Bennett opined yesterday, you don't just give the neighborhood bully a blood nose. You know, you don't just give him a small smack. You knock him flat out.
Rolene, this time yesterday, the War Cabinet was in session. Any indication, signs that they are still convening, still discussing the issue, still in session?
They are still discussing the issue. The War Cabinet is pretty much divided on how best to respond. And you can imagine that there will be meeting and meeting until these issues are ironed out.
Rolene, I wonder if we're on the cusp of witnessing something interesting transpiring here, for want of a better description, like a backfire, or things not playing into Iran's hands. Why I'm saying that is we were looking at issues earlier on about what the Iranian people really think and believe about what's happening in their country, coupled with an article which I think was in the Times of Israel, which spoke about Arab nations really are raising their eyebrows now about how this can hurt business in that part of the world. What do you think can materialize from this, given Iran's attempted attack on Israel since Saturday?
I think that's a very good question. Well, first of all, many of us are discussing whether or not this provides an opportunity for world powers to finally put an end to the Iranian regime. Mm-hmm. As we've been hearing more and more and more and more, the Iranian people don't want war with Israel. The Iranian people don't want this regime that persecutes women, persecutes anybody who stands up to its tyrannical ways, that routinely hangs members of the LGBTQ plus community from cranes, some of them as young as teenagers. This is the world's biggest sponsor of terror, sponsoring not just Hamas and Hezbollah, but is also sponsoring the Houthis who are disrupting the shipping lanes in and the shipping channels in the Red Sea, creating havoc around the world. And I think the Iranian people, and what is interesting is that you will always, where you find a pro-Israel rally or pro-Israel march, you will always find Iranians and Kurds standing with the Israelis and supporters, because we know, we all know what we deal with Iran as a sponsor of terror. And they have very deep pockets, which is quite ironic, given that the Iranian population has to queue, has to line up for their food and for their gasoline. Iran spends all that money on terror.
I think we're in for interesting times ahead of us, Rolene, in terms of Arab relations within the Middle East within the next couple of months. Let's see how that transpires. In the meantime, there was an interesting article earlier on, Middle East and European Union countries are voting on Palestinian education, which omits teaching hate and violence. This is going to draw UNRWA into the limelight again, isn't it?
This is going to draw UNRWA into the limelight, and I think countries are well aware of the incitement and the education of hate that has been present in UNRWA textbooks over decades. UNRWA has been part of the problem, perpetuating this narrative that Palestinians can have this right of return, that they are the eternal refugees, and that they must drive the Israelis into the sea and then take over our homes and come and resettle, so to speak, the land of Israel into a Palestinian state. And that's just not going to happen. They forget major gaps of Palestinian history, or in the case of this, Arab history that goes back now nearly 80 decades. So I think what this war in Gaza has presented, it's presented an opportunity for a revamped educational system. I don't think Israel will allow for anything less on our borders. We want to rid the region and certainly our borders of a terror entity, of this never-ending incitement of hatred, which leads to this never-ending cycle of violence.
One wonders, Rolene, I just hope that magic word enforcement will be enforced One can just imagine how will this, you know, be controlled, overseen and enforced, as I say. But yes, okay, that's for another discussion. Very, very quickly, I can't believe our time has run out again for our conversation on the show. But I think this needs to be promoted. It needs to be punted, given the limelight that it's received lately regarding Israel and humanitarian aid. Israel has increased humanitarian aid into northern Gaza.
Substantially. What we have seen happening over the last couple of weeks is a significant increase in the amount of aid going in via various terrestrial crossings, 13 countries working in partnership with Israel to airdrop food aid into the Gaza Strip. We've got the maritime aid coming in. COGAT has been repairing and fixing water pipes. Water pipes in the past have been taken by Hamas and used in the manufacturing of rockets. The World Food Program announced earlier today that they would be opening several more bakeries inside the Gaza Strip. So food and aid is getting into the Gaza Strip, certainly from Israel's side. The big issue, as I have stressed, is once it gets in, the distribution of that aid.
Indeed. We'll be having this conversation again in the near future, Rolene. But unfortunately, we've just about run out of time, Rolene. Thanks so much once again for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive to bring us the latest as to what has transpired in Israel today. Rolene Marks, spokesperson for the South African Zionist Federation.